When Darlene's father was dying, we were taking care of him at home. And we would sit with him and talk. And one of the things that he had said to my son as he was sitting with him one day was, "I should have loved more." He's close to death and he's contemplating his life. And one of the things he recognized was he felt like he had not loved enough. I would call that soul searching. And I think that we all could use some soul searching when it comes to loving more. I think that's a good thing to think about, and I think it's a good thing to examine ourselves with. In fact, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 9 that we are taught of God to love one another. Notice what he says there in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. "Now as to the love of brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." I think it's very interesting here that although they are certainly showing the example of loving the brethren because of Paul's statement here in this verse, but there is a necessity to even go farther and do more. I want you to notice here that Paul goes on to say in verse 10, "For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more." They were doing a good job. They were really showing their effort to love the brethren. But Paul encourages them to excel even the more. How are we taught? One of the things that comes to my mind as I read that passage was, how are we taught by God to love one another? Well, by God's own example, aren't we? In John 3 and in verse 16, probably the best well-known passage of all Scripture. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." God loved the world, and He did something about the sin that was in the world. In fact, we're told that God demonstrated His love for us in 1 John 4. In 1 John 4 and in verses 9 through 11, John writes, "By this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." God has shown us. He's demonstrated His love for us so that we can know what love is and how to love. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5, Paul writes, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Great love demonstrated, shown to us. "While we were yet sinners," is the idea, isn't it, that Paul even mentions in Romans. "Dead in our sins and in our transgressions, made alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved." Even Christ has set an example of loving us, has He not? Romans 5 and verse 6, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Is that not equal with what Paul says there in Ephesians 2 and verse 4? In verse 5, while we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive. When we were helpless, when we couldn't do anything about our sin, God did something, Jesus did something, didn't they? In fact, back up to 1 John 4 and verse 10. Notice there in that verse it says, "In this is love." This is what love is about. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Notice, God sent Jesus and Jesus came. It demonstrates what love is. And Paul in Galatians 2 and in verse 20, when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me." God set an example. The Son set an example. And since we are taught of God to love, then it should be seen in our lives. And one of the ways that it can be, we can show love is by stimulating to love and good deeds. That's what the Hebrew writer says in chapter 10 and verse 24. "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." You know, that idea of stimulate, some translators translate it provoke. Well, that word provoke or stimulate there means to stir up. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you ever stir up a hornet's nest? Did you ever stir up a wasp nest? Do you ever stir up a bumblebee nest? Well, I've had plenty of time and occasion as a farm boy to stir up a bee's nest on more than one occasion. They get all excited. They get real excited. And that's what we're talking about here, is getting really excited, stirring each other up. If I'm going to do this, then if I'm going to stir up others in our service to God, then I'm going to have to think about them. I'm going to have to spend some time contemplating how I'm going to stir you up and encourage you to do that, or to focus on love and good works. And so you have to be a part of my thinking. You have to be a part of my mind. How often, think about this, how often do we think about each other in this way? Let that roll around in there a little while and contemplate that idea. How often are you on my mind? How often do I contemplate and think about how I'm going to encourage you and to get you stirred up like that hornet's nest? I tell you what, when the hornets come out, there isn't any left behind. They come out in full force. And so it's a real excited time. We need that kind of energy and encouragement. They all get to the work. No one's left behind. They all get encouraged to do the work. We need to think about each other often and contemplate how it is that we might be able to encourage each other in doing more than we have in the past. And since we're born of God, then we should, by that very nature, love one another. Look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4, notice what John writes here in connection with this. Beginning at verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God is manifest in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Because we're born of God, we should determine to love more. That statement by my father-in-law impresses me. It focuses something in my mind about my care for other Christians. It calls to mind some things that need to be done in my life to show that kind of love and that kind of care for others. To claim that we know God, John says here, is not, and at the same time, not loving others is nothing but a lie. For me to say that I love God and then not love the brethren is truly a lie. I really don't love God if I don't love the brethren. In fact, if we love one another, God's love is accomplished in us. Look back at verse 12 again. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. It's accomplished. It accomplishes what He wants it to. But we've got to work with Him. And since we are to love one another, then we should abound in that love, shouldn't we? In 1 Thessalonians, again in chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3 and in verse 12, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. That word abound here, this idea of abounding in love, is to overflow, is to be full and overflowing in love for one another. Paul didn't stop. I want you to notice here in this passage that Paul didn't stop there but he went on to say, and for all people, not just for other Christians, but for everyone. If I don't love everyone, I will not do what's necessary for them to know the gospel, will I? My sharing the gospel with others says something about my love for them. My not sharing the gospel says something about my love for them too, doesn't it? It's certainly something for us to contemplate and to think about. Am I showing love for the brethren? And am I showing love for those who are not yet my brethren? But did you notice the qualifier that Paul uses in this verse? Just as we also do for you. Notice that at the end of verse 12. Just as we also do for you. You see, what that says to me is, I can be an example of loving others just like Paul. I can show others that I love in the same manner. That's what he's saying about these Thessalonians. They've been doing an excellent job of demonstrating this love, but he wanted them to excel even the more and to follow his example in that, in loving like he loved. You see, by working with the Lord, we can increase and we can abound in love. But we have to work with the Lord. We have to follow Him. We have to develop within ourselves the same kind of love that He had for us. Let's go back and let's think about that love that He had for us for just a moment. We talked about He set the example of what it meant to love, didn't we? His Son set the example. God demonstrated His love, didn't He? By sending His Son. How am I demonstrating my love for others? What am I doing? See, it goes back again to that idea of thinking about sharing the gospel with people. There are plenty of people that need the gospel, aren't there? Think about it a minute. How many Christians are there in the city of Omaha? When you compare the number of Christians in the city of Omaha to the city of Omaha and the number of individuals that live here, we are but a handful of people, right? So that leaves a lot of people who need to hear the gospel, who need to see and understand and know the love that God had for them, that He would send His Son to be able to save them from their sins. I need to be doing some things. I need to be acting in a way that demonstrates that love that God had for us, that He also has for them, in sharing that gospel with them. I'm also reminded of what Paul says in Romans 13 and in verse 8. He says that love is something that I never get paid off. Love is a debt that I will never finish paying off. Notice what he says there beginning in verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Owe nothing. This passage has always stood out in my mind. Here's a debt that I can never pay. Here's something that I'm going to have to continue for the entirety of my life, owe to other people. I owe them a debt of love. Again, that goes back to my sharing the gospel with them and talking to them about their soul and what they need to do to be saved. In verse 10 of that chapter, he goes on to say, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Loving one another fulfills the law, Paul's saying. And we all want to be fulfillers of the law, don't we? Does anyone here not want to fulfill the law of God? To complete it, to bring it to the end that He would like for it to come to? In Matthew 7 and verse 12, in everything, therefore, treat people in the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Again, I'm brought to the thought about sharing the gospel with people. If I was lost in sin, would I not want somebody to share the gospel with me? I think about the analogy that people have used, that I've heard preachers use over the years of my life, about standing at the judgment, standing in line, and there's someone just in front of you, and they turn around and they see you, and they say, you never mentioned him to me. Does that ever weigh on your mind? In Galatians 5 and verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if I love myself and I want to make sure that I'm going to heaven, then I should have that same kind of love for my neighbor, right? Puts a new perspective on loving God, doesn't it? Puts a new perspective on serving God. And it puts a new perspective on serving people of the world. Love is also a command of God, isn't it? In fact, in 2 John, 2 John in verse 5, John writes, "Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." John says, "I'm not really writing you a new commandment. It's the same one that we've had from the beginning." And one of the things that comes to my mind as he says this, that we love one another, that it's not a new commandment, it's an old commandment. I have to ask myself, what's he talking about? What exactly is he getting at? Well, I think what he's getting at is found in John the 13th chapter. In John the 13th chapter, down in verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I think that that's one of the things that John is referring to. Maybe he's even referring to over in chapter 15. And verse 12, where it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Then drop down in verse 13 or 17 of this chapter. "This I command you, that you love one another." Well, I'm just really positive in my thinking and my interpretation of this passage in 2 John 5 that this is what John is referring back to. It's not a new command. It's an old command. It's one that Jesus gave us, that we love one another. But I want you to know, I want you to see that Jesus uses a qualifier, doesn't he? "As I have loved you." Jesus gave himself for us. Galatians 1 and verse 4, "Who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father," that he might rescue us. Now I understand the effort that I put forth will not cleanse anybody of their sin, because that work has been done by Jesus. But I can help rescue people from a world of sin and sorrow and death by sharing the gospel with them. In Ephesians 5 and in verse 2, Paul goes on to say, "And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Just as Christ also loved you." Paul's using qualifiers too, isn't he? He's telling us exactly how we're to love and what kind of love is involved in all of this. And it's really something for us to contemplate. Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6 says, "Who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time." Jesus was the ransom. I can lead them to the ransom. You can lead them to the ransom. You can rescue them through Jesus Christ. In Titus, Paul writes in chapter 2 and in verse 14, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good deeds." Are we a zealous people? Are we zealous of good deeds? Are we zealous of rescuing those who are lost in a dying world? God did all of this so that he could purify a people for his own possession. Why would we not all? You know, I think we were praying for someone with cancer. My son has cancer. I'm not sure about my brother-in-law. There's no report back on the tumors he has. I'm not exactly sure what the situation is with Travis. and the tumors he's been having. But one of the things that stands out in my mind, you know, I've got a niece who passed away from a brain tumor. Yeah, so there's a lot of this stuff that rolls around in my mind. And as I think about this, and I think about this in connection with salvation, if I had the cure for cancer, would I just stick it in my pocket and go on as if nothing was going to happen? Friends, we've got the cure for something that no one else can do anything about. We've got the cure for sin, and it's found in Jesus Christ. If I love people, then I'm going to pull that cure for cancer out of my pocket, and I'm going to put it before them, and I'm going to allow them to have that blessing. Why wouldn't I do that with the gospel? In Galatians 5 and in verse 13, Paul writes, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Our love should bring us to the point that we want to help other people. Think about Jesus washing the disciples' feet in John the 13th chapter. I want you to think about that, the example that our Savior set for us. And then I want you to notice with me in particular verses 14 through 16. Where Jesus says, "If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him." We were talking a little bit about Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 this morning. That was mentioned in our Bible class. We understand that that was not just for the disciples as Jesus is departing the world. Because those disciples, those apostles are gone now, and we are the ones that must carry on that work that Jesus gave them in that passage to share the gospel with others. You see, did not Jesus serve us by going to the cross? Should we not look for ways to show our love for one another by looking for ways to serve each other, to serve those who are without Christ in this world? In what's left of this year, I'm asking you to put some effort into loving more. I'm asking you to put some effort into caring more. Not just about one another, but about a world dying without Christ. I don't want to stand on the judgment day and have someone look at me and say, "Why didn't you mention him to me?" You knew I was lost and without a Savior. Why didn't you mention Him to me? So I would encourage you in what's left of this year to make as much effort as possible to find love and more love to share with others. You see, we must love in the same way God loved. And God went to great lengths in loving us, didn't He? Then maybe we ought to go to greater lengths in loving one another and those who are lost in this world. If your life is not what it needs to be, we would encourage you this evening to make your life right with God. We would encourage you to think about what He has done for you, to consider the sacrifice that was made, because He cared about you. I often tell people, this is one of the things I remember with my children in particular, I emphasize with them that they needed to make their salvation particular to them. Jesus Christ died for me. He died for you. If you need to correct your life in some way this evening, we would beg you, we would plead with you to change it today as we come and stand, as we sing the song that was selected.